weekend place in New Zealand?
Well, it was kind of an impetuous act, to tell you the truth. I was on a book tour in New Zealand, and my partner at the time, Terry Anderson, and I had a week to kill and decided to take a trip around the South Island. And the South Island is roughly Switzerland in the Pacific. It's a magnificent place with Alps in the middle and rainforests and even deserts and rolling green pastures with sheep that resemble parts of Sonoma and Mendocino counties here in California. I had spoken to a friend of mine in Sydney, and her husband, Stuart, said, if you go to New Zealand, you must find your way to Akaroa. It's this little French town that was started by the French in the 1840s. So we did find it, a lovely place on this blue volcanic harbor with Hector's dolphins, the smallest of the dolphins, the sort of poodles of dolphins, if you will, out in the harbor, and a magnificent Victorian ambiance that really was like parts of Northern California, apparently without the cost, because we would peer into real estate windows and see these little cottages that were going for virtually the cost of a garage in the Mission District in San Francisco. So we mentioned this to our landlady, who happened to be an American, and she said, well, there's a lovely colonial farmhouse for sale across the harbor. So we went over across the harbor, bumped our way up a dirt road through these tree ferns, found a way to the top of this valley, and here was this extraordinary 1840s cottage that had functioned as a farmhouse for many, many years. And we just got a little crazy.
And the home is called Kahikatea?
Kahikatea. It's a particular kind of white pine that grows on the South Island.
How often did you all get there in the early 90s?
The first year we went for 5 months. Terry was HIV positive, still is HIV positive, and doing very well. At the time, we thought there was a real death sentence on his head, so we were determining to live in the moment, and we simply shipped things from the States to this remote outpost. There was nothing between our front porch and Antarctica. That gives you a general idea where we were.
Wow. Were your neighbors happy to see you guys, or how do they regard outsiders?
Well, the day we arrived, every room in the house had a flower arrangement, which had been done by a neighboring farmer's wife.
No.
Oh, it was amazing. And cakes and cookies lying on the kitchen table with a little note that said, there were some brownies there, and there was a note that said, sorry, I don't have Mrs. Madrigal's recipe, which is a reference to one of my characters who likes to put herbal things into her brownies. We had a postal delivery person called a postie, whose name was Bunty. And Bunty would, if you called her the day before or the morning of a delivery, she would bring paint or bread or whatever you needed over from the village and put it in your mailbox along with your mail. It was like, you know, those Disney movies, so dear to my heart, those things that you saw in the 50s that never really existed in the United States.
I was just going to say, it sounds like Ozzie and Harriet there. But
it kind of was. I mean, you stay there long enough, you realize that there are certain characteristics of Kiwis that can become frustrating.
Like?
They tend to shut down emotionally and to be present a sort of cheerful surface below which all sorts of stuff is bubbling. But I'm a Southerner, so I'm familiar with that behavior anyway.
I was just going to say, it sounds like the American South to me.
it's kind of all the best of country life without the rednecks.
Well, what did you and Terry do from day to day? What was a typical day for the two of you?
Well, we did some fairly queeny things, I must admit. We drove in and out of Christchurch and raided antique shops to furnish the house, which was kind of fun. A great deal of the time we were just walking in the hills and visiting our neighbors. Everybody in the valley invited us over, and we were considered to be just one other couple in the valley.
Were there other gays within driving distance?
Well, the first week we were there, the farmer lady across the way came over to visit, and she said, well, I've been meaning to tell you something. My daughter is a lesbian. And we said, well, how nice. Do you have a problem with that? And she said, well, just a wee bit of one. Isn't that silly of me? And we had a chat about it. I found that they had less homophobia than most Americans. You can actually immigrate to New Zealand if you have a same-sex partner who is a Kiwi.
Did that place inspire you to write?
Well, I did. I wrote half of Maybe the Moon, my last novel there. It was wonderful because you woke up in the morning to this preposterous chorus of birds. And there was no place to go and nothing to do but to wander around the house and come in and sit there and write. So it was very, I haven't written about it yet. I suspect I will eventually.
Now, I understand you recently sold your house to your sister. Why did you do that? And are you in the market for something a little closer, like Hawaii?
Yeah, it got to be too much because Terry and I realized that if we wanted to see the rest of the world, it simply wasn't going to happen. If we had a home in San Francisco and a home in New Zealand, that meant when you got your time off in San Francisco, you'd have to head to New Zealand.
And so you live in San Francisco now full-time?
I live full-time in San Francisco. And my sister and her husband run a bed and breakfast out of this house. They've actually doubled the size of it. It's the best accommodations in the area, really. It's quite extraordinary.
What is it about San Francisco as a city that inspires you to write?
It's full of mystery. I think that's the single word that appeals to me. The movie The Vertigo embodied it for me for many years, and I still feel that way. When the fog rolls in or you get some strange, unexpected vista, when you round the curve of a hill you've never been on before, you see it all in a brand new light.
Let me turn the question around. What did you get from Ack Arora that you don't get from life on a day-to-day basis in San Francisco?
I think probably just another fantasy about one way to live, the sense of a tiny community full of generous people, the gossip of a rural valley, which stimulated me tremendously as a storyteller. I still laugh with my sister because she'll report on the people in the valley, and I know them all, and everything they're up to is what they were doing 7 or 8 years ago. So I loved the stories that came out of it. They were just a different kind of stories. And I could be myself there completely and yet find a life that was different from my life in the city.
Well, you did what so many travelers fantasize about doing when they land in a place that is in some way perfect or feels perfect at the moment.
Mm.
Having done that now 8-9 years ago, if someone came to you and said, you know, I just for the first time went to, say, northern Thailand, and I was just swept away, and there's a house available, and I imagined buying it, and let's say they had the financial wherewithal to commute from the States to there occasionally, what would you say to them?
Don't be afraid. Do it. I think the HIV, thing hanging over us probably forced us to take a step that we might have been too timid to take had things been fine. And because we took that step, we had an experience that other people only dream about.
Armistead Mopan, thanks for joining us today and talking about New Zealand.
It's a pleasure, Rudy.